Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Camille, for inviting me. It is a great honor to read with you. Thank you. And I'll begin with this poem. Let's see. Tu abuelita Nelly. This is my 14th time pressing roses in fake passports. For each year, I haven't climbed Marañón trees. I'm sorry, I've lied about where I was born. Today, this country chose its first black president. Maybe he changes things. I've told Mom I don't want to have to choose to get married. You understand. Abuelita, I can't go back and return. There's no path to papers. I've got nothing left but dreams where I'm the parakeet nest on the Flor de Fuego, the paper boats we made when streets flooded, or toys I buried by the foxtail ferns. Do you know the ferns I mean? The ones we planted the first birthday without my parents. I'll never be a citizen. I'll never scrub clothes with pumice stones over the big cement tub under the almond trees. Last time you called, you said, my old friends think that now I'm from some town between this bay and our estero, and that I'm a coconut, brown on the outside, white inside. Abuelita, please forgive me, but tell them they don't know shit. And so I like how you described the eucalyptus, because we have a similar, well, it's not eucalyptus looking, but we call it Flor de Fuego, which is a fire flower, and it bursts like that. So, and in honor of that eucalyptus poem, I have a eucalyptus poem. And I haven't read this poem out loud, and since we're in San Francisco, I'll read it. And so I was born in a similar bay in El Salvador, but there's mangroves and different stuff out there, so, yeah. San Francisco Bay and Mount Tam. Every day, there's the bay. Every day, every night. Once, it was Estero de Jaltepec, kingdom of sand, warm, coconut sweet, not salt. We jumped from the pier. We jumped from mangroves when air was thick gold honey. We'd come up, and there it was, El Volcán de Chinchontepec, mountain of breath, dormant with a cornfield skirt. 20 years above the tropic, every day, every night, there's Mount Tam, its coast Miwok name, Tamalpais, shortened by gringos, foreign and invasive like pampas grass, like eucalyptus, like every single white seed of dandelions. So I didn't know dandelions were colonizers as well. Right? They're everywhere now. So from there, we'll go to El Salvador. So my dad left when I was one because of the Salvadoran Civil War, 1980, 1992. And then my mom left in 1994 when I was four because of the aftermath of everything that happened. And then I came in 1999. But for those 5 years, I grew up with my grandparents. And I heard a lot of stuff. So this third section, there's a lot of hearsay. So she said this, she said that, which I had to cut because it was too much. But there's still a lot of it. But anyways, crybaby. All I was a chillón. Neighbors lined up against our fence while the nurse checked for fever. Mom called me her ear's fruit fly. Even backyard mango said, callaste chillón, Dios mío. Abuelita says everyone brushed ash toothpaste with horsehair toothbrushes, that Mom had a baker's sleep schedule, that before 4 a.m., bakers once baked bagels for tourists. My town hates bagels. I'm 9, and I never seen a bagel. I don't remember how tourists tipped. Before I was born, the dawn locomotion of troops was the town's alarm. Abuelita says the aftertaste of ashes is moth wings, arid powder where names are buried. Those gringos wore uniforms and threw coins into the tide Saboys reached for copper from El Norte, where dusk is honey. Abuelita says, mangos beg God, callaste un gringo, Dios mío. I know no one slept before my birth. For years after, still, no one slept. And so I didn't remember the war, because I was like two or one, but I had to. It took me going to Berkeley and majoring in history for my family to begin to open up about that, because then they thought that I was going to write a history book where I would interview them and they would be part of history. But I'm too lazy, so I didn't finish. I didn't know that you had to, after the BA, you had to get a PhD, which is 8 years. I'm like, nah, fuck that. So I wrote poetry instead. And now they're in here. But this is a memory from my aunt. And this is for her, for Tia Mali. Rooftop. On top of those tiles, they thought they saw stars fall as they imagined snow would from an orange tree. They saw them burst, bright yellow, bright green, sometimes red, on the ground, on the roofs, on the streets, a few kilometers away, in the islands, in the cane. They climbed the roof when they heard boots flash flood through houses. And when they felt the ground shiver, they did not tremble. She held her two-year-old nephew, saying, Javiercito, they will stop falling soon. It's just snow. And, yeah, you can snap. You can do whatever. You can clap. Feel free to do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. So, not knowing, is there's always, I always ask, like, why the fuck am I in this country? You know, why? And that was a big part of why I wanted to major in history. Well, I did major in history. But so digging through all that history, you know, there was a big resentment that grew in me towards the politics of this country. And yeah, these are just some of the names. The poem ends in those three little dots, and it's called Disappeared. And a side note, one of my uncles was disappeared. We still haven't found him in El Salvador. But finally, this week, so at the end of the book, there's this website that you can go on. It's www.ourparentsbones.org. And I've been working with them. And it's an organization that wanted the Salvadoran government and the United States government to acknowledge the close to 15,000 disappeared people during the Salvadoran Civil War. And with the help of a U.S. congressman from Massachusetts, McGovern, he's good. Okay, and the Salvadoran government just acknowledged what they did, and now they started this agency that would begin to look for the bones of the people that disappeared. My uncle being one of them, and disappeared. Hold these names responsible. Arena, Roberto Dawison, Escuadrones de la Muerte, Las Fuerzas Armadas, Batallón Atlacatl, La Guardia Civil, Escuela de las Americas, also known as Fort Benning or Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, Batallón Atonal, Bush Senior, Ronald Reagan, Batallón Ramón Belloso, Alliance for Progress, USAID, Batallón Eusebio Bracamonte, CIA, Jimmy Carter, Batallón Manuel José Arce, JFK, the 14 families. And let's see, one more war poem. Yeah, I haven't read this one. And my dad was 11 when this happened. So this is one of the stories that came out of being a history major. This was the field. Some say it's true. I haven't seen it. Not here close to the coast. Doña Raquel says the islands are where bombs come from. She says those people are guerrilleros. Their dogs carry messages, and their children are born with sickles up their asses. Teniente Milton says guerrilleros are scared of this town. Last week, Milton broke four of Carlitos' fingers. If it weren't for Carlitos' mother swearing she would beat the shit out of him, I don't know. Milton dragged him to the middle of the street and pointed the M16 at his forehead. That las fuerzas will shoot kids for listening to the radio, I don't know. I haven't seen it here. It started early one morning, the helicopter flying low to the ground. This happened 5 days in a row, one shipment an hour. Mama Socorro says guerrilleros might be winning. It was the first time a helicopter flew over our town. All we read and heard about were battles in Tecoluca, the islands, the capital, the volcanoes. I ran under the helicopter. It never landed. It just threw bodies onto the field. So that's all shit that my parents had to go through. So in a way, I'm lucky to be here. And let's see, before the border poems, I'll go to this one. So my dad left when I was one, and it is almost a town myth that this is how I learned to walk. That's the title of the poem, but I think it's bullshit. Because like how, apparently my dad was walking because he left at dawn, and my mom didn't realize that I had left the bed, which is bullshit. And then apparently my dad kept on walking and I was walking behind him. Imagine a one-year-old walking behind him. And he didn't look back to see who the fuck was behind him, which is bullshit. But this is like a story that I heard, you know, growing up. Yo, you're the kid that like follow your dad. I lived in a very small town. So everybody that I met, oh, you're the kid that like did this. I'm like, okay, yeah. Which I don't remember. And I think it's a made up story, but he gave me a poem. So here it is. And my dad was a fisherman. How I learned to walk. Callate. Don't say it out loud. The color of his hair. The sour odor of his skin. The way they say his stomach rose when he slept. I have done nothing, said nothing. I piss in the corner of the room. The outhouse is far. I think orange blossoms called me to eat them. I fling rocks at bats hanging midway up almond trees. I've skinned lizards. I've been bored. It's like that time I told my friend Luce to rub her lice against my hair. I wanted to wear a plastic bag, to smell of gasoline, to shave my hair, to feel something like his hands on my head. When I clutch pillows, I think of him. If he sleeps face down like I do, if he can tie strings to the backs of dragonflies. I've heard of how I used to run to him, his hair still smelling of fish, gasoline, and seaweed. It's how I learned to walk, they say. Callate. If I step out this door, I want to know nothing will take me. Not the van he ran to, not the man he paid to take him. Mom was asleep when he left. People say, somehow, I walked across our cornfield at dawn, a few steps behind. I must have seen him get in that van. I was two. I sat behind a ceiba tree, waiting. No one could find me. So that's true, no one could actually find me, apparently, until like noon. So I think that must have been the true part, that like I got lost and then they made this other shit up. But yeah, poetry. You can lie. Let's see. I'll read. Where to go? Okay, I'll read this one. So, you know, being a little kid, I kept on hearing about the United States And it was because of the pizza, the hamburgers, and all the shit I heard about that I didn't have and never tasted that I wanted to come here. That and because I miss my parents. And so every Christmas or birthday, I would wish and like pray. I was raised Catholic, unfortunately. And I went to a Catholic school with nuns that hit you. Yeah. And so every time that I could pray, I prayed to come here. And this, the title of the poem is Prayer. If nuns at school find out, guards won't let me through. They did that for Margarita. I can't tell anyone I'm going to see my parents. I'm going to see my parents. If mom was here, we'd split palm sticks and I'd run to Doña Chita's, buy shoemaker's glue, China paper, nylon. Church bells just rang. Diosito, guard my way across the bean field, past great-great-grandma's, over the football field, down the road, past mom's best friends. I gotta ask Mother Superior how long it takes to cross Guatemala, Mexico. Diosito, I've been eating broccoli, drinking all my milk so parents think I'm big. Mom and I would fly long as it took the kite to crash. Often, it was the neighbor's avocado trees. We'd pull and pull till the string broke. Neighbors would come and yell, but we weren't after their iguanas. I don't like to eat iguanas like mom. I'm going to see my parents. I'm going to see my parents. On my last day of school, I'll tell only my closest friends I'm flying to where people drink cold milk, put strawberries in their cereal. I'll eat strawberries all the time. Get so tall, I'll start playing basketball. Well, that didn't work out. I'm short as fuck. But I tried. I drank cold milk and all. Which is cultural, you know, like in El Salvador, we heat it up. I don't know if you like any Salvadorans in here, like you grew up heating your like milk. So it was a trip. I didn't start drinking cold milk until I was like 4 years into the US. And it was like a cultural moment, like, fuck, I'm becoming a gringo. Like, yeah. And so I came here when I was 9 to be reunited with my parents. And shit went south, you know. I used the same coyote that my mom used. She made it here in 2 weeks. So he was a trusted man. But he fell in love with somebody that was in our group. So he left us because he fell in love. Good for him. But he left us, me, and four others. So I was 9. There was a mom. She was a young mom with her 12-year-old. There was a 18-year-old MS-13. He was fleeing the gangs. There was another like 25-year-old 18th Street fleeing the gangs. So they had some drama. And then there was this other dude we called Chele, who I don't know, he was just coming here. But he was fleeing too. They were all from San Salvador, so I was the only one from the rural area. And if it wasn't for Chino, like I still don't know his name, I wouldn't be here. So this is, we somehow made it from southern border of Mexico all the way up to the US-Mexican border in Arizona. So I crossed the Sonoran Desert. And this is about the second try crossing the Sonoran Desert. Second attempt crossing for Chino. In the middle of that desert that didn't look like sand and sand only, in the middle of those acacias, whiptails, and coyotes, someone yelled, La Migra, and everyone ran. In that dry creek where 40 of us slept, we turned to each other and you flew from my side in the dirt. Black-throated sparrows and dawn hitting the tops of mezquites. Against a herd of legs, you sprinted back toward me. I jumped on your shoulders and we ran from the white trucks, then their guns. I said, freeze, Chino, para, por favor. So I wouldn't touch their legs that kicked you. You pushed me under your chest and I've never thanked you. Beautiful Chino, the only name I know to call you by. Farewell your tattooed chest. The M, the S, the 13. Farewell the phone number you gave me when you went east to Virginia and I went west to San Francisco. You called twice a month. Then your cousin said the gang you ran from in San Salvador found you in Alexandria. Farewell, your brown arms that shielded me then, that shield me now from La Migra. So that's for a gangster, you know? We get the only times the Salvadorans make the news is because of like gangs or like unaccompanied children, which is kind of bullshit. But this is another image of a human being. You know? People are also pushed to join the gangs. It's like a whole cycle. You know, if I had stayed in El Salvador, I probably would be a gangster. You know, because there's this resentment towards your parents that leave you, and some don't have enough money to like get you to come here. So then, who do you turn to? You can't relate to your grandparents or your aunts. Sometimes they're not even there. So then you join a gang. Yeah, and this one's about the first try that I tried to cross the desert. So each try, so the entire trip, what's supposed to be 2 weeks tops, it took 2 months, and my mom and dad didn't know where the fuck I was, so I can't even imagine what they were going through, because they don't have papers, so it's not like they could go and like look for me. They didn't know if I was dead or alive. But yeah, I was crossing the border. After writing this, I found out that it's a crime to do what I did. For like, saguaros are these huge cacti that have water in them. And apparently you can't, like it's a federal crime. So this is a lie, I didn't do this. And it's poetry. You can lie in poetry. Saguaros. It was dusk for kilometers and bats in the lavender sky, like spiders when a fly is caught, began to appear. And there, not the promised land, but barbed wire and barbed wire with nothing growing under it. I tried to fly that dusk after a bat said, "La sangre del saguaro no seduce." Sometimes I wake and my throat is dry, so I drive to botanical gardens to search for red fruits at the top of saguaros, the ones at dusk I threw rocks at for the sake of hunger. But I never find him here. These bats speak English only. Sometimes in my car, that viscous red syrup clings to my throat and I have to pull over. I also scraped needles first, then carved those tall torsos for water. Then spotlights drove me and 30 others dashing into Palo Verdes. Green striped trucks surrounded us and our empty bottles rattled. When the trucks left, a cold cell swallowed us. And I'll finish with this poem, and thank you all for listening. And it's an honor, again, Camille, and it's an honor to read here. Thank you all. It's a long poem, so I'll see if I can do it. I'll skip some parts. And it took me three tries, and I finally made it here on June 10th, 1999. And I think for every immigrant, you have your birth date, day that you're gonna die, and also the day that you cross. And this is like appears in my like alien registration card, and like in my, so this is the date that I made it here. June 10th, 1999. First day inside a plane, I sat by the window, like when I ride the bus. Correction, when I rode buses, below the border, I sat by the window, attention to dogs under a mango, trash under parked cars, drunks passed out. I sat by plane window, same afternoon I crossed desert, the third time, was not nervous at white people at terminal, all those questions, did not cry, did not stop looking out the window for Statue of Liberty, Golden Gate, Disneyland, Miami. We were lost and didn't know which star was north, what was east, west. We all dropped out of the van too soon to remember. Someone said the sun rose east. We circled so much we had no maps, and the guide we paid twisted his ankle, was slowing us down. We couldn't leave him. Why? As the ones who walked ahead whispered they'd heard coyotes fake their hurt, circle and circle so much they make it seem they tried, but all they did was steal money. I don't know. His ankle was swollen. He was feverish. It's true. The sun's heat was a reptile, but I know if we hadn't left then, we'd still be run over toads. I didn't recognize Dad. Different from pictures. He remembers the smell, shit, piss, dust in your hair, he says now, crying. Mom had a bag with Nikes, Levi's, Star Wars Episode I shirt. I left my ripped clothes inside a Ross fitting room. I'm tired of riding the fence, the desert. The van picked us up, took me to parents. I'm tired, it's always that. Even now, outside United Airlines 18F, I see clouds first like quilt, then like cheese, melting in a plastic bag on the creosotes next to those empty gallons of water. Mom didn't know. Dad didn't know. Even if they run across fences before, they didn't see my knees crashing into cactus needles that night one shoe slipped off. She says, Coyote said, I'll carry him to your front door myself, Pati. She didn't know 110 degrees, when like Colorado River toads, we slid under bushes. Officers yelled, on your fucking knees. You couldn't have known this could happen, Mom. You couldn't have. No es su culpa. No lo es. Javier, here you go about same shit. When will your status change? When will you stop not being that June 10th? Let it go, man. You're not inside that Tucson fitting room. This is not Abuelita, who you couldn't call. Those 8 weeks, she lit a candle every night to light your path. Abuelita, who you can't call every 2 weeks. You can't even tell her, la quiero mucho, only here in a language she don't speak. I left Grandpa in Guatemala. For 8 weeks, no one heard my voice. For 8 weeks, no one slept. Twice, parents packed the car, said, I'm going to the border. Then at 1 a.m., someone called, said, you the parent of Javier, 9 years old, from El Salvador? Yes. Órale. It's gonna be $1,500, cash. Can you get to Tucson tomorrow? Yes. Órale. Near Phoenix, call this number. To write, I look for words in books. Little ants, Abuelita calls words. Right now it's bonsai. That makes me think, father. He made the one in a black pot in the first living room I saw in this country. Correction, first furnished living room in this country. My first dawn here, I spent it dreaming about what furniture should be where on that living room carpet used as Coyote Warehouse in some Tucson suburb. The smell of all 50 of us who waited for family to pay so we could take different vans to different states. In that ceiling's white bumpy surface, I imagined a movie I wanted to see, Mi Vida Gringa. I was ready to be gringo, speak English, own a pool, Jeep, convertible. I wasn't born here. I've always known this country wanted me dead. Do you believe me when I say more than once, a white man wanted me dead? A white man passed a bill that wants me deported, wants my family deported. A white man, a white man, a white man. Not the song I wanted to hear. Driving to the airport today. The road, the trees, the signs, the sky, the cars, the walls, the lights told me we want you out, out, out. Out. I'll end there. Thank you.